Blog Talk Radio. and gentlemen, welcome to the Brothers Faria Radio Show.
You have reached the maximum time permitted for recording your message.
Uh-oh.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
I've been leaving Joseph a message that long. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Brothers Faria Radio Show. This is Leon Gatewood. I have Curtis Gatewood on the line with me, but let me say this right quick. I feel like I need to say Happy New Year. It's the first time, Kurt. Anyway, I'd like for you to call in and talk to us tonight. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Do something you haven't done this year yet. Call in to the Brothers For Real Radio Show, the Brothers For Real Radio Show, and say hello. Just say hello, hang up if you like, but just say hello. Call in and talk to the brothers tonight. 215-383-3872. We're going to be talking about purpose tonight. But before we get into purpose tonight, we're going to go around the world and speak to Curtis E. Gatewood. Curtis E. Gatewood, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, Brother Leon. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man, but you sound a little muffled, man. You sound a little muffled.
Do I sound muffled?
Yes, sir. I want the people to hear you, man, so clear that up.
Man, what can I do? Do I need to hang up and call back in?
I hear you, man. It seems like you're just not on the, you're just not close enough to the mic or something.
Let me try to go to another room or something. I don't know. We'll see. Is he okay? Am I okay?
I guess you're all right. Just talk loud and clear, man. Just talk loudly and clearly. How are you doing tonight, brother?
Okay. I want to say hello to all of the listeners. Thank you, Leon. Thank you for this platform. I want to say Happy New Year to those who I have not said Happy New Year to. And it's just great to be on, Leon. It's great to be on the radio. It's great to be on. We're between King Day and Black History Month. So I guess we have to talk a little bit about justice. What you think?
Yeah, man. Got to do that.
So justice, first of all, I want to remind people of Justice Ministration. Justice is the acronym Jesus Uniting Souls to Increase Community Engagement. The reason why I feel that is important is that because it seems to me that the church that once served as the catalyst of the community or the anchor of the community or the place where, you know, the village basically just rallied around the church, and the church would have to produce those colleges like NCCU and that Black Wall Street like Mechanics and Farmers Bank and all those things. It was going on through the church. And so it seems to me, Brother Leon, that it is imperative that the church today begin to take its place in the village and help to bring the village back to that whole village to raise that one child. You didn't have to call the police every time you heard some noise outside your window. You didn't have to call the police or the sheriff's department every time you heard somebody over the next door talking or talking loud. Or the people in the village took care of the village. Looking at the news, looking at what was going on in Memphis and how this brother was just beat to death, basically, by police officers, even police officers who look like us. And so, you know, the police are just totally out of hand. But when the village was intact, Brother Leon, we had it all under control. We did our own de-escalation. We did our own dealing with somebody's out of order and somebody, the neighbor, and people were coming together and deal with it. But now it's like everybody has to pick up a gun, call 911, and all these situations are leading to the escalation of violence. Brother Lena, I want to say one other thing. Already, we just got into 2023. And there has already been at least 36 mass shootings that we know of. Mass shooting, meaning multiple people killed. Somebody going out spraying, bam, bam, bam. In Durham all the way up to across the country. It's just going crazy. And there is just such a need for the involvement of the church. I will say it again. It is time for the church to re-engage in the community. It appears that the church, Leon, has been overtaken by the money changers. I hope somebody will prove me wrong. I'm hoping it's going to change and it's not going to be that way. It's going to be different. And I know there's some good churches out there. I know there's some folks doing some good stuff, you know. But it seems that the hireling that Jesus talked about, the hireling who would come in and come in as the hired hand, who would take the money and run and leave the sheep to be scattered by the wolves, it seems like the hireling has taken over in a lot of these areas. And so what I'm praying for in this new year is that we can ultimately break free in 2023. This is going to be the 60th anniversary year of the 1963 March on Washington. So we should be looking at that 60 years when the young Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. sat down and stood before a whole nation and others. There were several other speakers, by the way, but he stood out evidently because of his eloquence and the fact that he had already helped to lead one of the most effective boycotts in the world, in the nation's history, the Montgomery boycott, which of course took place in 1955. Unfortunately, following the Montgomery boycott in 1955, the FBI came out with COINTELPRO in 1956. In other words, J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI director, decided after that march, that's what I believe. I think it was after that successful protest, boycott, that J. Edgar Hoover decided that they would neutralize, he used that word, that language, neutralize any black messiah or anyone who's emerging to be a black messiah that would lead these types of protests and boycotts, that he was going to have his own counterintelligence program that would infiltrate these movements and help them to neutralize, in other words, assassinate, murder, kill, whatever it takes, these leaders. So there's just so much, Leon, that has gone on, and now we're seeing it actually in a different way. I would say it's a different thing now. You don't have the chains of slavery, but you do have mass incarceration. You don't have Jim Crow, but we do have the new Jim Crow, which I also say is equivalent to the new plantation. So there's just so much going on that we have to pay attention. And the church, I believe, is one of the last sources of power that is left in the black community, because the black Wall Street, whether it was in Durham, whether it was in Tulsa, they use different techniques to destroy the black Wall Street. The black church is what's left. Churches, what are we going to do to save our communities?
Doctor, here's the sad part. We're talking about the mass killings. See, we when they say mass killings, we still look over the fact that maybe, okay, let's say, in Chicago this past weekend, from Friday to Sunday, 30 people shot, 6 killed. So they don't count that in the mass killing. Because all of them shot at once, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, in this country, we depend on the media to inform us. And that's a big mistake. Mm-hmm. That's a huge mistake.
That's correct.
Because the media has motives or narratives they push. Mm-hmm. The motive is all the narratives. Mass killings. They're going to look over the guy that got shot one at a time, you know? So anyway, all that said, like you're saying, we need to pay more attention to ourselves. Dr. King said this. You know, he said a lot of things. But one of the things he did say, and we need to be mindful of in every aspect of our lives, he said, human progress is neither automatic nor inevitable, which means you're not going to automatically be progressive, and it's not inevitable that you are going to be progressive. Every step toward the goal of justice requires sacrifice, suffering, and struggle. If we're not doing that, if we're not making sacrifices, if we're not struggling, and if we're not suffering some kind of way to make things happen, it's not, they're not going to happen.
Exactly right, Leo.
So what?
Man,
what,
I'll tell you this.
So look around, Curtis. Like you're saying, not enough work is going on to make things change. There's not enough work. There's not enough suffering. There's not enough sacrifice. There's not enough struggle. So we got, we realize we need to make some struggles to get our kids back on track. We can't sit here and say the high school kids are crazy and expect it to do anything, expect any change to happen.
Correct.
We can't say the middle school is off the chain and expect it to change. We don't even expect it to change. Because if you're not doing anything to make it change, you don't expect it to change, or you shouldn't expect it to change.
Exactly. Leah, and I want to, since you got a quote out there from King, I do want to give this quote too.
Yes, sir.
Because it ties in to what you're saying as well. Dr. King, this is a very common quote. People really need to look at it a little deeper, I think. He talked about the ultimate measure of a man or a person of mankind or a woman, a person. The ultimate measure of a man, he says, is not, he talked about, it's not during the times of comfort and convenience, but during the times of challenge and controversy.
That's right.
The reason why that is so important is because some of us have been trained to stay away from controversy, trained to stay away from challenge and trouble and to stay in the comfort zone. And we act as if you're doing something great by being out of so-called trouble. But, you know, also, you know, you heard about that good trouble from people like, of course, John Lewis. Exactly. He was another speaker at that 1963 March on Washington. He talked about good trouble.
Another young
thing in the Bible about good fight. And there's something also that speaks to this issue that I was referring to. Even though we see all this killing, actually there's a war. There is a spiritual war taking place. Even as we see the killing and the blood and all this other stuff, there is a spiritual war that we're not paying attention to. And that spiritual war has always been, as described, evil principalities and evil people in high places. And so you have people in high places who are taking jobs out of the communities and not providing opportunities for these guys, for these youth. You have people in high places who are having curriculum that are pushing students out of schools into the hands of the wolves. But there was a time when they were being pushed out, there were some good shepherds out there in these churches. And the good shepherd's job is to protect the sheep and to make sure that those, when they are pushed out, if something is done through the system that will push our people into the wrong direction, the good shepherd will be there to help to guide. They already knew it was coming. They already understood that we did not have our friends in high places. But now the good shepherds, I'm calling for the good shepherds to step up, you know. I'm not going to conclude that all churches are bad. I'm not going to conclude that all leaders are bad. I'm not going to conclude that everybody person has lost their mind in areas of leadership. I am saying, good shepherds, it's time for us to call the roll, come out, stand, if it's not but two or three, let people know who you are. So that when people are in trouble, when people need a good shepherd, when people need a light in this darkness, they will know who you are. I know there are times when people say, well, you know, I just do mine behind the scene. Don't be behind the scene right now. There's also a word, which I don't even ever see where it says work behind the scene, because I've seen where it says be like a bush up on a don't have your light in a bush, but have it up on a hill. I saw where it said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works.
Right.
You don't see, the problem has been when people did a little good work, they start putting it all, making a light, throwing their resume out there and all that. But it's not about us. But when you let that light shine, then you give glory to the higher power that gave us the strength and the courage to do so. And so we need to let some light shine so that there can be some hope out there for these young men and young people who are thinking that the gang members are their friends or the gang recruiters going to give them a family. We need some people, some lights out there that are shining. And so I want to spend my time trying to engage the faith community, because the faith community should have the courage, because you know that there's a higher power. The faith community should have the resources, because you know people are paying their tithes, or they've actually seen where ways in which they can get resources. They have a building. There are buildings all over the place, everywhere.
Mm.
The church has the resources. The church has the mission. The church has the history. It is time for the church. If nothing else happens on this show, Leon, I'm saying to the church community, this is not condemning the church. This is not saying I don't like the church. This is not saying the church is not going to do anything. This is saying to the church, if you have a ministry, ministers, let your ministry be seen. If you are missionaries, missionaries, let your mission be seen. If you are a trustee, let your trust be shown that people can trust you. This is the time for the church to come alive in 2023. It's time to break out of the walls and let it be known that church service goes beyond the walls. The church service is community service, and it's time to get live.
Amen, bro. Amen. You know, sometimes our Curtis Al, I just look around and see that so many things are not effectively challenging the evil that's out here.
Right. Mm.
And right. I don't know whether it's people don't know how to challenge the evil, or they're just fine with the way things are. I mean, people are just fine in the comfort zone.
Yep.
You know, there's a comfort zone of, it's easy to get comfortable and say, well, I did something today. We went to church. We had a good time.
Yep.
Almost everybody in there was shouting.
Yep.
But what was the real accomplishment?
Right.
But if that was the intent of the service, they had a great day. It's just that we need to find a way to change the or encourage the intentions of everything we do to be more purposeful.
Mm.
I don't know whether what's going on in church is getting anybody to heaven. I don't know. I haven't been to heaven to see who's up there. And I don't see the path it's going. I don't know how you check. But I don't think I would be very, well, let me just put it this way. I'd be very surprised to see heaven full of a lot of things that are going on. So anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother Ferrer Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break. I see one of the other brothers signing up before he comes in. We're going to take a quick break, go in the huddle, and come back out in a few minutes. We're going to tell you again, the number to call is 215-383-3872. Do not miss the opportunity to get into this great conversation. Please share your thoughts with us. Please share your thoughts with the community. The community needs to know what you are thinking, so that we together can address the situation that's going on in our community. 215-383-3872. I'm going to talk.
Remember to shoot me.
Welcome back to the Brothers for Real Radio Show, where the number to call to talk to the brothers is 215-383-3872. Not only are you talking to the brothers, but you're talking to the whole wide world. Because this is the worldwide web we're on. So you're talking to the whole wide world. We would like for the whole wide world to hear your opinions on what we can do, how we can be more purposeful in everything we do. We cannot afford, I reiterate, we cannot afford to just say we went to church today and came back home. I cannot afford to just say I went to the Holler Center and came back home. Had a good time down there and came back home. I can't say it. We can't say we went to the club last night, had a good time, didn't get shot, came back home. Happened not to get shot this time, I went in there and came back home. We have to figure out what we're going to do. Now, we've been having these conversations over and over, but it's really time to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really time to do something.
Leo, you know, actually, there's not anything wrong with repetition. People don't realize how many times Dr. King said that I have a dream speech. They don't really know a lot of times how many times Malcolm X told that speech about the house Negro and the field Negro and a lot of things that they would say. Sometimes, unfortunately, it takes saying the same thing over and over again until people get it. And so I would hope the Gateway Brothers not feel like you're wasting your time if you have to say the same thing over and over again for people to get it. Also, the seasons change. In other words, societal trends will change. And sometimes as you, if you stop saying it and you don't realize that the societal trend has changed into a place where people can hear. And so by saying it over and over, you may start with where the pendulum is in one place where people are not caring, people do not care, people are just confused, people are lost. And then you might continue saying it until God creates that pendulum to swing right at the time you are saying it again where the people can hear. And so I'm hoping that in 2023, this is a season that people can hear, because we're seeing all of the bad signs. People are seeing the pandemic at work. Hospitals are filling up with people trying to get oxygen and get through the COVID pandemic. Now you have the escalation of shootings and killings. There are just so many reasons that people should want to hear right now.
And Curtis,
and so I'm just hoping that we are moving into a time where ears can hear.
It's, in my opinion, Curtis, it's a simple formula. We're hearing that we're getting an increase in all that stuff because there's an increase in negligence. There's an increase in us doing things that don't matter, things that are not purposeful. We're not doing things that are purposeful. Robert Gatewood, welcome to the call tonight, brother. How you doing, man?
Doing fine, Leon. Oh, Curtis and Leon. Glad to join your brother this evening. Sorry, I'm a little behind the time here. Well, you got a good topic going there, brother. You know, I was sitting here as you were speaking, Leon and Curtis. I was musing, as I'm often to do. And it kind of reminds me of that song John Lennon wrote a few years ago called Imagine. And he was musing about all the things that could be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, world with no war and people doing this and all doing the right thing. And so I was having similar thoughts over here. I was just imagining, what if all the people who were called to gospel, called to help people, were actually putting all of that energy and resources back into the community? I mean, just let's imagine that for a minute. We have so many resources. Just imagine that the people were really, really out there just putting this, I mean, sweating and not making a lot of money. They're wearing regular clothes like regular people. They're living in regular houses like regular people, driving regular cars, going to regular jobs, because the gospel was not their source of income. I mean, it's okay to cover your expenses, but it wasn't necessarily how you're going to make your wealth. Let's just imagine, because think about it, people go to work every day. People put in 40, sometimes up to 80 hours a week. And the only thing they have to show for that effort is sometimes a paycheck. But let's just imagine you're actually working on something that you believe in, something that actually is at your core, something that's your purpose. You're putting in 40, 80 hours a week. And it happens to be that effort of the church, of serving people. Imagine if you had that army of people doing that and not lining their pockets and not building their resumes and seeing how many speaking engagements they can get and how big a car they can get and what kind of $4 or $5 million mansion they can have with pools and indoor theaters. And just imagine how much different an impact we would have in our community. Let's forget about other communities for a minute, because you know they got to deal with their own issues. Let's talk about our issue for a minute. We have enough multimillionaire ministers in our community to solve most of the problems that we're dealing with. We're not talking about going down the street giving out $100 bills to people. We're talking about hiring good social workers. We're talking about building community centers. We're talking about building industries that can hire people. We have the resources to do that if the people
who were charged with the task, with or so-called charged with the task, would actually do it. Take the money out of the community if you're not going to do what you're supposed to do. Leave people's money in their pocket if the if you're not going to do it, do the right thing with it. Let people hang on to the few coins they have and try to do the best they can. But not only are you not taking the money and doing what you could do with it, you taking a few pennies that they had that they could have gone out and tried to put their kid in a better school or put their kid, buy their kid some books or get them a new computer or put them through an institution of higher learning. You taking the little money they did have, and what are you doing with it? I don't want anybody to be a pauper. Preachers to go out here and live on the street in rags. But there is something inherently wrong. The evidence tells me. One thing we said, okay. Maybe they're doing, they got a jet and a mansion, but look at all the good they're doing. The evidence doesn't show us that. Evidence shows that we are worse off today than we were 50 years ago when we were living in tabards and tags and rags. Exactly. Something is wrong. I'm a fact-based person. I don't get into the emotion, okay? A background in math. I have a background in accounting, facts-based guy. Into the emotion. I'm looking at the evidence. Evidence telling me that what we are doing is not working. Tell me how much money you're putting back in the community. How many schools you started. It's not working. So something has to be done differently. It starts with putting people in these positions who are really charged with the task. It's part of their purpose, and they're doing it because that's what they're put on this earth to do, rather than doing it to make their income. Go out and get a job. Job like everybody else.
Exactly.
What you're doing back in the community.
Exactly.
Amen, bro.
That's my. I think about
Amen.
This and it bothers
what
me.
What he's saying though, what he's saying is really solid, because you know it kind of again connects with what we were saying about how people are getting these positions that normally would require sacrifice, that normally would require putting your neck on the line. But instead, they put the community's neck on the line and take a lesson, vulnerable people's neck on the line and taking a lesson. And that is the difference between having a cult-driven type of movement versus a person who's actually leading and protecting the sheep rather than leaving the sheep to be slaughtered. See, the person that actually leads the sheep, just like Jesus showed himself, he sacrificed himself. But today's leaders are trying to throw everybody else under the bus.
You know what, that's crazy. let me tell you something else, guys. Let me tell you another layer to this problem that's really problematic, that's not talked about enough. A lot of these leaders get money from government, corporations, from people that do have money, because it lets them sleep at night. They say, look, I've given this leader X number of dollars, or I've given this organization, this institution, X number of dollars. So I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've done, and in many of the cases, they were actually right. They actually did what the Lord said you should do. I wrote $1 million check to this organization. I wrote $100,000 check to this nonprofit organization. I wrote a $500,000 check to this church because the church told me we needed this money and do God's work. Money didn't make it down to where it needed to go. You wouldn't be in a $10 million mansion. Not only, they're taking the money from the top and they're taking the money from the bottom.
They're terrible. Look, man, guys. Dr. King, here's where we need to start using Dr. King all year long, because on Martin Luther King, on Dr. King Day, they only talk about the speech, I Have a Dream speech.
Yeah, that's right.
And the few lines that say we should be holding hands and stuff.
Right.
I'm going to read you something now that you can really say this also applies to the Negro. Listen to me. Dr. King said this. He said, I must make two honest confessions to you, my Christian and Jewish brothers. First, I must confess that over the past few years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in his stride toward freedom is not the white citizen's counselor or the Ku Klux Klaner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order, and he has that in parentheses, than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice, who constantly says, I agree with you in the goal you seek, but I cannot agree with your methods of direct action, who paternalistically believes he can set the timetable for another man's freedom, who lives by a mythical concept of time, who constantly advises the Negro to wait for a more convenient season. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. And that is the problem with a lot of blacks.
Yep. Absolutely. That's the nail on the head.
We say
Jesus,
we need to be a little nicer about it. Be a little nicer about what you're saying.
And the thing about it is Jesus said
this is not a good time. You won't get justice unless you fight for it.
Jesus said, be hot or cold. He said, when you are lukewarm, I vomit you out of my mouth. I don't want you walking in the comfort zone. I don't want you walking in the middle of being all things for all people. I want you to shake it up. I want you to be on one side or the other. You're going to be a racist, be a racist. You're going to be for justice, fight like it. But you can't be walking down the middle. I vomit you out of my mouth. Even Jesus is saying that.
Jesus wasn't playing, boy.
Jesus meant what he said.
Yeah. But, you know, guys, I've made a habit of my life not to be counting other people's money. But I also, parallel to that, I've always said don't stand in the way of money that should be going to others.
Right.
And I've worked in some organizations as a consultant, and it left a bad taste in my mouth because I saw how money was handled. And when we have young men shooting another young man 50 times, we have our young black women on the social media, if their behind isn't out, then something is wrong with them in their opinion. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. But we have people. It is hard work to stop people from killing each other. It's hard work to tell people to put their clothes on and stop setting bad examples for the next generation of young people who've been overly sexualized. That's hard work. Because you have a platform out here, you have a medium out here called social media that is hell-bent on just really destroying this entire community. It encourages people are killing each other online. They are shooting each other and filming it.
Yeah.
They are online with basically no clothes on. Has to direct some money. You can't just stand up in the pulpit on Sunday, collect your millions, and go home. You got to put some people down on the street to do this hard work, and it's hard.
It's hard.
It is.
Let me tell you how hard it is, Robert.
It's so hard.
Robert, let me tell you how hard it is, man. We had you know how, you know, everybody knows how cool the Lion King Jr. production was in Anson County or in Eels, and we're in the process of pulling it back together. I'm so excited about how smart these little kids are, how powerful, how talented. And anyway, called the crew back together this week. One of the kids came in looking real sad and said, Mr. Gatewood, what's his name, say, he not going to do it anymore. Now, this is a guy pour it all I can pour into somebody. If I had to do any more to him, I had to give him my blood, you know? That's right. A fact. Him and his family. I would have to actually pour my blood into him. And they come sends word today, say he's not going to do this anymore. He's tired of doing this stuff. And he doesn't have to like this, but I know what he has grown to like. That's the disappointing part. I don't get disappointed because people want to go a different route. It's I get disappointed because of the route and what they have been distracted by in people, parents, absolutely, grandparents, ministers, preachers, teachers. If we don't stop allowing these guys to get distracted by this kind of stuff, I mean, what can you expect? Everybody kind of, no, I'm not going to say, people are scared to death already of young people. That's why they won't tell them to pull their pants up. That's why they won't tell them to take the headphones out of the air when they walk into church. They're scared to death of them. It's not going to get any better. I told a young lady today, I said, look, if you think we scared of you, wait till you get old and see what you're going to have to deal with. You think you bad, wait till you get old and see what you have to deal with.
Oh, heaven forbid. Heaven forbid what's coming next.
In that next round. That next round, man. So I'm just saying, we're going to have to hurt. We're going to have to struggle. And I don't see enough struggling happening. I'm sorry to say I don't see enough struggling happening to deter or to change the trajectory of the direction of people that this situation is headed to. There's not enough work.
Hey, here's a thought. All right, this just came to me. Okay.
Okay.
We know that the money flows to the top, and sometimes you're just making money. You can't even stop the money from flowing. And people out there tithing and throwing money, they feel like they're somehow going to get salvation by throwing money at it.
Feel like they're going to
that money goes. Exactly right. They're going to walk on the dollar bills to get them up to the pearly gates. But let's just say we can't stop that because people are going to do what they do. But the money up top, what that money can do, and the power structure that up top that has been uplifted and propelled by this money, they should fight some of these problems and some of these messages that start at the top and trickle their way back down to our kids. That means the movies, the music, the messages. They can, if they're going to be up there with these jets and million-dollar mansions, they need to be talking to these folks, the other folks with jets and million-dollar mansions, who putting this poison in the veins and minds of our kids.
Only way that's going to happen, Robert, is the people that giving them the money make them do it. They're not going to do that on their own, bro. They're in the comfort zone, man. They're in the jet.
But Leon, they claim they want to help.
They're
giving them an out. Coming out. All right, you're not coming down here on back to the streets of us.
We can't give anybody that.
Come take the homeless. Leon, they're not gonna come down and pull the homeless guy from in front of the church and dress him up and give him a place to eat. So we're saying, okay, let's say you're not gonna do that. Okay, we're not giving you a pass, but let's deal with reality. How about George Washington Carver, Booker D. Washington? One of them said, drop the bucket where you are. You're up there in the jets in the crystal staircase in the mansions, and you hobnobbing with other people like that. Can you influence that you have and try to influence these folks, or like I said, poisoning the minds of these young boys and young girls?
streets. Now you're in the suites. You that influence where you are. Pressure. Not solution. I'm just telling you. Because it's frustrating.
It's pretty frustrating, man. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother For Real radio show. Let me see if anybody's called in over here. Not a soul. But look, brothers love talking to each other, but we really, I would like to hear from you guys out there. I know we get text messages and emails, but we would like for you to join the conversation so that we can have an open discussion on these issues. I think open discussion leads to open working together. I mean, yes, sir.
Problem is bigger than the church, too.
We absolutely.
We have people in corporate America. They get a position. I mean, this almost sounds cliche because it's been going on so long. They get in these positions, and they become worse at oppressing people of color and people disadvantaged people than the oppressor himself, because they're trying to maintain their position. They're trying to keep their job and their money flowing. And this is a big problem in our community. I hate to say it. It's old as the community itself. But it hasn't gotten worse. I mean, it hasn't gotten better. The checks have just gotten fatter. And so, yes, sir.
I just say I agree, man. What can we do?
We need
what can we do?
This is what I have to say sometimes, and this is the marketing part of me. Sometimes you have to get the emotion out of it, and you have to appeal to people in a benefit. What is it? Cost benefit way. Say, look, okay, if you do this, what the community or my organization can do for you in return. You have influence. You have resources. You have the ability to pull levers and turn knobs. And from the, and you're saying in the back of your head, from your past actions, I can see what it takes to get you to move from A to Z. Then we have to get people in position that can negotiate some turns that's going to benefit the community, because there seems to be nobody doing that bartering right now. It's like once the people leave the streets and get up into the corporate suites, it's like the connection disappears. It just dissolves. There's no in-between anymore. It's like we need some middlemen, some middlewomen to negotiate what's going on to these people who have ascended to this point where they're making millions of dollars and driving jets and living in million-dollar mansions. That connection between the street, that connection has been lost. And I think we need some arbiters, some middle people, some negotiators, bring these worlds back together. Seems like somewhere it got lost. I'm telling you. There is no middle. I'm just musing over here. I'm just musing. My brain is going, you know. I think sometimes we come up with a solution to these problems, but then, you know, then the time and resources to make them happen, once again, the money that should be funneled toward the solution keeps going to the people who are part of the problem.
Here's what I'm going to do, Robert, here's what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
Next week, I'm going to invite a few of my corporate friends, my minister friends, and around this microphone. And I'm going to let them know what we're going to talk about. And we're going to have a discussion, see what we can do to make this thing happen.
You know why I like that? This is what
yes.
I like. The other day, this is what we need more often. Somebody donated food, distributed that food to the people that needed it and wanted it.
Right.
That's what you need. They didn't come to you and say, look, Leon, here's a fat check. Go out and buy you a brand new car. They said, here is a direct line from here to here. And they came to an organization that has a history of action, of making things happen. More of that needs to happen. And I know you can't just be handing out chickens on the street. That can be a very big undertaking. But more of that direct action needs to happen.
We gave out a ton of chicken in one day. Check this out.
One day it could be computers. It could be mental health sessions. It could be physical tests. It could be high blood pressure screening. But these things should be going on in the community every day, not just on some holiday or some special day of the week.
Every day.
It's happening every day.
Let me give a big, since you brought that, I'm glad you brought that up, Rob. Big shout out to Feed My Lambs, the Feed My Lambs ministry here in Anson County. They're the ones who shared that blessing with us to share out the community. And not only that, on this coming Monday, they have a tractor. How do you say this? I tried to say this last night, I couldn't get it out. A tractor trailer load of personal hygiene items and diapers and stuff like that gonna be parked in front of the center on Monday, this coming Monday at 10 o'clock. A tractor trailer load of stuff that people need and can't and having a hard time buying right now because the prices on everything is so crazy. Have y'all tried to buy a dozen eggs lately? I haven't. But I'm hearing they cost like $7.
Yeah, it's high.
About $1 egg, man. Getting up to $1 an egg. What kind of chickens we got out here? But check this out, man, before we go. Do we need to talk about what happened in Memphis with these black cops before we go today?
Man, I've been seeing this, you know, you go through your turn on your computer and you see the news item. I've been seeing these five black cops, but never read the story.
Right.
When did they get an award? Did they never really read the story until I started hearing the news about this young brother got beat to death. I just never put the two together. So I'm still trying to process this whole thing. I'm still kind of, I'm in a flux over that one. I mean, we understand how it happens because when you're in a system that devalues black life, then anybody in the system can do that at any moment.
And you know what's also interesting is how quickly they got fired.
They're gone, hell, we wonder.
Huh?
Yeah, I think that should be something we need to look at as well because, you know, we use that a march and march and march and march. For somebody to get fired, and I'm hoping it's not because all five are black.
Probably so, but look, you know, this is a lesson learned, though. This is how quickly
they should have been fired.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is how quick. This is an example of how quickly you should get fired. Just like when they found Secret Service packages in Biden's office, how quickly you should get upset about it. And now they finding them in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. All of them took the thing. Who everybody been taking the things home, man? What's up with that?
Leon, but the thing in Memphis, and I'm pretty sure they probably need a little time, like Robert said, because I think it's something we probably just really need to study on. But I just want to say in general, it goes back to what the Stop Killing Us Solution campaign did in 2017 was about coming out with universal standards. And we had universal standards by everybody, by every police officer, making sure that this so-called police union, FOP, Fraternal Order of Police, and all these people were actually real police officers following the Constitution from state to state, city to city, then we wouldn't have this problem. So, you know, now it's like, well, should we go harder or lighter when the police officers are black? Should we just, no, we should be straight across the board with a policy and a process of making sure, regardless of who does it, regardless of where you live, where you are, when you do A, B, C, or D, you are terminated, prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. You're never wearing a gun and a badge again. you know.
Yeah.
But we have these areas where, okay, some people can fire a police officer right away. Some people got to go through the union and all this other stuff. Some people can't. We need a standard order for a standard process in dealing with police misconduct throughout the nation. What good is it for me to hold Alamance County and police officers? They get to the point where they listen to me. Okay, we're not going to shoot black folks as soon as we see them when they drive up. We're going to have a policy where we're going to actually go through and determine that, making sure our police officers are not racist or haters or black self-haters or whatever they might be. But then they leave out of Alamance County and go to Durham and get shot and killed. There has to be a standard, universal standard for law enforcement throughout this country, which is consistent with the U.S. Constitution and everything else that I talk about, and making sure that people are treated with respect as if they are human, with human rights, and not only with constitutional rights, but with the Declaration of Human Rights, international law. We forget about international law. International law sometimes is more just than American law, but there's an international law that deals with human rights, which we should also consider when we're talking about making sure people are treated fairly. So all these things need to be put in place. And so I'm ready for that discussion. I'm ready for solution time, because my solution metaphoric guns are loaded, not the ones that are shooting us, but the ones that can prevent the shooting by all sides.
That's right. What you got to say, Robert? What you got to say, man?
I'd say this is a good discussion for another day, because there's so many stories that are, well, we know the system, we have an unjust system that meets out the laws and the people that minister the laws, and that's a bigger issue to be tackled, and that's going to take some time. But like Curtis said, if you put some type of codes and standards in place so that the people who are out here who are interacting with the community know what they should be doing and not doing, then we can deal with those higher system issues on an ongoing basis. But you can't wait for the system to change. You got to put some things in place right now to save lives.
Please, Jesus.
The world needs now. I don't, Curtis, you've been on it a long time, man. You've been on it a long time trying to make this happen. I don't know whether they ever will, man. But like you say, Rob, that's another show. That's another show coming up. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you, brothers, for coming down here, helping us make our Martin Luther King Day Gala beautiful and powerful, man. Everybody's talking about it, telling us how beautiful it was across the board. We talk about from Kenya Miles to Car Ratton to Sunshine Ray, Sandy B, and the All Stars, and of course the Gatewood Brothers. It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. So looking forward to the March 25th when the big Leon Gatewood 65th birthday party. It's gonna be a party with a lot of things, including on purpose, man. Then by next week, I'm going to try to get my man in here. We're going to get one of a few pastors in here if I can, a few corporate people to see what they can do. And we're going to make this thing happen, man. We're going to keep this conversation going. And we're going to be purposeful. This radio show is purposeful. All right? We out here, guys. Y'all have a good night, man.
All right, man. Thank you. All right,
brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man.
their way. All they need is a hand to guide them.
Hey, bro.
Yeah. Good night.
Have a good one.